Hello and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, and we start as always with local news. A teenager died after crashing into a utility pole in Lawrence County early Sunday morning. The crash happened on Highway 43 at 2:20 a.m., according to a preliminary crash report provided by the Tennessee Highway Patrol. The THP reported a 16-year-old was driving a Dodge Charger southbound on Highway 43 when he failed to negotiate a curve to the left. According to the report, the Charger went off the right side of the road and hit a utility pole before it overturned and ejected the teenage driver, who was not wearing a seatbelt. No additional information was immediately released. Former Columbia Fire Chief Ty Cobb is contesting a determination by the city that he is not entitled to a hearing before the city's Civil Service Board. Cobb was terminated by City Manager Tony Massey on March 12th. The termination letter contained allegations that Cobb accused Columbia police officials of being involved in an attempted break-in of a civilian's residence and offered to pay for favorable news coverage of himself and his department. A letter sent by Cobb's attorney, John Mark Windle of Livingston, states that under the city's charter, Cobb is entitled to contest his termination before the city's Civil Service Board. The City of Columbia Charter and City Code clearly state that the fire chief is not a department head and is entitled to a civil service hearing, the letter dated April 3rd states in part. In an email to Main Street Murray, Massey disagreed with that assessment, stating, "That position is not covered under civil service per the Columbia City Charter." A separate letter from Windle, dated March 15th, states in part that when John Cobb was hired, he was given written notice he was a civil service employee. Mr. Cobb's status as such has never been rescinded or terminated, nor has Mr. Cobb received any actual notice from the city of the termination of his status as a civil service employee. Chapter 2 of the City of Columbia's charter states that the Department of Public Safety shall have jurisdiction of the fire department, and that the Director of Public Safety may not suspend the chief of the police department or the chief of the fire department without the concurrence of the city manager. The City of Columbia's website does not reference a Department of Public Safety, but instead lists police and fire separately among the city's various departments. The city also does not have a director of public safety listed among its employees. The Columbia City Council will hold a public hearing on Thursday this week on a proposal to raise the city's sewer rates in order to service debt expected for the construction of a wastewater treatment plant. The City Council's next voting session is scheduled for Thursday, April 11th at 5:30 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The public hearing is scheduled to be held prior to the start of the meeting. According to documentation provided by city staff, the guaranteed maximum price for the new wastewater treatment plant is just over $95 million, plus engineering costs. It has been recommended that the city use existing funds to cover approximately $20 million of the cost. Those include $10 million in reserve funds and $10 million in American Rescue Plan federal assistance funds. It is proposed that the city issue bonds for the remaining $77 million. The bond issuance would be for a term of 30 years at 4.12% interest. The sewer rate increase has been proposed to service that debt. Using the proposed new rate, it is estimated that the average sewer bill, assuming a family of four using approximately 5,000 gallons of water per month, would increase the monthly bill from $39.49 to $53.74, or $14.25 per month increase. City staff information indicates the last sewer fee increase was in 2011. Second reading of the ordinance change concerning the sewer rates is scheduled for consideration. Having received a Small Cities Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG, for sidewalk improvement along South High Street from West 8th Street to West 11th Street, and along East 8th Street from South Main Street to west of South Glade Street, the City Council will consider awarding the contract. The city will be required to cover just over $200,000 of the cost of the $763,314 project. Mayor Chas Mulder noted that it is believed to be the single biggest sidewalk investment at one time due to the scale, adding that it is a good opportunity to get the sidewalks improved at a good cost. Chief of Police Jeremy Alsup told board members last week that the department has a new canine officer named Winston, paid for partially through the Tennessee Highway Safety Grant. His handler is current Columbia PD Officer of the Year, Austin Sanders. The council will be asked to ratify the application and accept the grant funds for the grant, as well as another grant to continue the canine program. Other business on the agenda for the Columbia City Council's Thursday meeting includes a public hearing on the rezoning of a group of parcels off Morningside Lane from CD3L, that's Neighborhood Large Lot Character District, to CD3, Neighborhood Character District. Second reading is also scheduled for consideration. Roughly around 2 p.m., temperatures dropped briefly and the atmosphere appeared like dusk instead of the middle of the afternoon at the watch party at Riverwalk Park, hosted by the City Parks and Recreation Department earlier this week. Although being an overcast day made the likelihood of visibility questionable, conditions seemed to clear once the eclipse came into view. "We showed up and were hoping the clouds would go away," Glenna Hornaday of Columbia said. "It all seemed to clear up just in time, so we could see it. It was amazing," she said. While the viewing crowd Monday was fairly scarce at the park, many families and residents came out to sit on the grass, socialize, and witness an eclipse, the last having occurred across Tennessee in 2017. The Parks and Recreation Department offered proper eclipse-ready eyewear on a first-come, first-served basis, though they quickly ran out. "It's funny how they often say this is once in a lifetime, and here I am having it happen twice in my lifetime," Parks and Rec Program Director Christina Walls said. "I love solar stuff, and with this happening, I figured it would be a good community event, though I didn't realize the glasses would go as fast as they did, almost instantly," she said. Parks and Rec Assistant Director Alex Trogue said the department wanted to participate in a way that allows anyone wishing to see the eclipse to have the ability. "The biggest thing was creating this opportunity we'd be able to provide, one of many programming events we are always trying to find, one where we can be at a location and break barriers of entry," Trogue said. Trogue added that events like an eclipse are also a good opportunity for community gathering, as well as education, two areas Parks and Rec often includes in its programs. "The nature of it and the information behind it is absolutely worthwhile, even if it's just a random day talking about astrology," Trogue said. "That stuff is interesting, regardless of the context, but when you get to experience it, the cosmological factors and the anthropological factors throughout history, I just find that very interesting," he said. The next total solar eclipse visible in the United States is expected to occur in 2044. Habitat for Humanity Williamson-Murray is thrilled to announce the opening of applications for its home ownership program. The program offers eligible individuals the opportunity to achieve the dream of home ownership through a collaborative and supportive process. "We help families and individuals buy their first home by removing the down payment and customizing mortgage payments to never be more than 30% of their income. With that kind of financial stability, kids can put down roots and parents can start planning for the future. We bridge the gap between renting and buying a home the traditional way," shared Hannah Siegemiller, Habitat for Humanity Williamson-Murray Homeowner Services Manager. To be eligible for the program, applicants must meet three basic criteria: need for safe, affordable housing, ability to pay a monthly mortgage, and willingness to be an active partner for the duration of the process. For full details on program qualifications, you can visit www.hfhwm.org/apply. Once approved, families will help build their own homes alongside volunteers and community partners. Those homes are then sold with affordable financing to the families. Program participants will complete budget coaching and home buyer education to prepare for the responsibilities that come with home ownership. "Our path to home ownership is an important and in-depth process that requires hard work, time, and dedication. But this helps ensure the long-term success of our partner families," said Siegemiller. "Nobody is a better testament to the transformative power of Habitat homeownership than Karika Washington, from Habitat homeowner to Habitat for Humanity Williamson-Murray board member. The trajectory of her life has changed since becoming a homeowner. I received my Habitat home 8 years ago. I was a 30-year-old single mother and never thought I would have a safe and secure home for me and my son. The budgeting classes and the first-time homeowner classes helped me so much, and I continue to use the budgeting class to this day, Washington said. Habitat for Humanity Williamson Murray started the stepping stones for my career and my ability to provide for my son in a way that I didn't think I would, she said. By offering a hand up, not a hand out, Habitat for Humanity Williamson Murray is committed to empowering families to build strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. The organization invites individuals and families who meet the eligibility criteria to apply for the home ownership program and take the first steps towards home ownership. For those interested in applying or learning more about the home ownership program, please visit www.hfhwm.org or contact them via email at apply@hfhwm.org. Join the King's Daughters School for their About Autism Lunch and Learn called See Beyond the Spectrum. The program will feature Annette Hatfield, the director of the Center for Autism, to learn about autism and how we can partner as a community to provide safe places and inclusion for everyone. The event will take place on April 16th at 11:30 a.m. at the King's Daughters School Craig Hall, located at 401 West 9th Street in Columbia. You can RSVP by emailing Tiffany Wright at tiffany.wright@tkds.org. The King's Daughters School promotes independence through educational, residential, and community services for individuals with developmental disabilities, continuing a 100 years legacy of service. Columbia State Community College's Columbia campus is excited to announce summer camps for 2024. The Game Design Unity Camp will run from June 10th through the 14th for rising 6th through 8th grade students. Campers will craft virtual worlds, master optimization techniques, and bring their video games to life with sounds and animations. Join them for an adventure in creativity and technology. Rhythm Retreat Music Camp will run from June 24th through the 27th for rising 4th through 6th graders. Student participants will experience drumming, comprehend new piano skills, enjoy music games, and take part in choral singing. Innovate and Illuminate will run from July 8th through the 12th for rising 6th through 8th graders. Participants will learn to make fun and useful projects using the fundamentals of circuit building and microcontroller programming. For more information on the various summer camps and to register, visit www.campusce.net/Columbia State, or you can email workforcedev@columbiastate.edu. The Murray County Clerk's Office can now help residents with renewals of license plates or placards each Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Murray County Senior Center located at 1020 Murray County Park Drive. Please drive around to the back of the building and look for the car tag renewal sign near the back door. Forms of payment include credit card, debit card, or check. No cash will be accepted at this site. Any Murray County resident can use this office. All other transactions will still need to be done through the main office located at 10 Public Square in Columbia. Also, you can renew online at www.tncountyclerk.com or at kiosks in Spring Hill City Hall or Mount Pleasant Courthouse. The Murray County Historical Society has been granted permission by the Murray County Commission to place a time capsule in the new Murray County Justice Center, currently under construction. A selection committee has been created and is ready to receive items. If you have something small and Murray County related you would like to donate, contact Eric Previti at 931-626-9878, or you can email him at epreviti, that's E-P-R-E-V-I-T-I, at icloud.com. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Mr. William Billy Fowler Ridley, 55, a self-employed carpenter and resident of Columbia, died Thursday, April 4th in Columbia. Funeral services for Mr. Ridley will be conducted Thursday at 1 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Rose Hill Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. Nell Broadway Gillum, 95, Former longtime resident of Columbia and retired co-owner and operator of Gillum Brothers Grocery, died Monday, April 8th at the Arbors at Willow Springs in Spring Hill. Funeral services will be conducted on Thursday, April 11th at 3 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Rose Hill Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Online condolences may be extended at www.oaksandnichols.com. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Maury County families in the ways they prefer, and why the way you feel has always been so important to Susie and Tony Sowell.
When people come here, I hope they feel like they're working with a person who's just like family. And by the time they leave here, I hope they feel like they're a part of our family.
What I like most is when a family is leaving, they can say thanks. You made something we thought would be hard easier than we thought it would be. Not that we made it easy, we made it easier.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have rain today with a high of around 70 degrees. Winds will be out of the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. The chance of rain today, 80%. Rainfall will near a quarter of an inch. Tonight, we can expect showers and thunderstorms, some of which may contain strong gusty winds. The low will be around 60 degrees with the winds out of the south-southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. The chance of overnight rain, 90%. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
We all live very busy lives. Sometimes we just need a break. Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra pair of hands to help out? Let me introduce you to New Dawn Cleaning Service. No job is too big or too small because they do it all, from residential to commercial. They offer standard cleaning, construction cleaning, carpet shampooing, and window cleaning. Whether you are looking for a one-time service or regular scheduled cleaning plan, New Dawn is ready to help. With years of experience, you can relax, kick back, and call New Dawn Cleaning Service at 615-977-6901.
This is Bob Kessling with Pat Ryan. It's a beautiful day for digging. The backhoe operator has the engine running and is moving into position. He's heading for the ground. He's in there. Wait, there's a flag on the play. Let's get out of the field for the call from our official.
Illegal procedure on the digging team.
Oh, that penalty could cause a costly accident.
That's right, Bob. He needs to call before he digs. There's underground utility lines that could be hiding just below the surface. Water, sewer, electrical, communication lines, and even natural gas.
Avoid a penalty by first calling 811 to have any underground public utility lines located and marked with flags or paint.
It's free, it's easy, and it's the law.
For more tips, visit pipesafety.org. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and the Tennessee Gas Association, funded in part by a grant from the Underground Utility Damage Enforcement Board.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. Tennessee and its surrounding neighbors are no stranger to tornadoes. One only needs to look back at the spring of 2023 to see that the state was host to the strongest tornado of the third most widespread tornado outbreak in American history. And the long-term trends aren't painting any more favorable of a picture. A team led by Victor Gensini from Northern Illinois University performed a multi-year analysis using the significant tornado parameter, a tool used by meteorologists to analyze how favorable the atmosphere is for tornado activity, and found a dramatic upward trend in the likelihood of impactful tornadoes over much of the southeastern United States, with the highest bullseye being painted over northern Alabama, Mississippi, and southern Tennessee, with slightly more elevated possibilities extending as far as the Carolinas. These long-term trends have been duly noted by the National Weather Service, and from 1988 to 2011, one of the most robust radar networks in the world was installed to help remedy the shortcomings of the sparsely placed radars of decades past. And it worked. Almost. Despite the apparent completion of the network ending in 2011, our region, especially southern and middle Tennessee, notable for the aforementioned trend of leading the nation in increasing tornado possibilities, has been left without a local radar in the network. This means a population of some staggering 1.5 million residents stretching from Humphreys County to northern Alabama have zero low-level tornado detecting radar coverage and haven't for decades. This fact is doubly concerning when the preponderance of significant EF2+ tornadoes since 1950 is considered. From 1950 to 2023, almost 100 significant tornadoes have impacted the previously highlighted region, of which almost two dozen were EF4 or EF5, the most intense tornadoes possible based on the current understanding of the Fujita scale. Moreover, this is to make no mention of the hundreds of detected and undetected, weaker, still dangerous tornadoes that happen almost every season in this portion of the country, with one recent example being that of a series of EF1 tornadoes that struck Lawrence County in February of 2020 without warning due to no low-level radar coverage, injuring one and doing more than $1 million in damage. It was this confluence of factors that sparked a team of 32 scientists led by Mark Weber of the Cooperative Institute for Mesoscale Meteorological Studies to investigate just how much the true benefits of new radars could benefit portions of the United States, with a special focus on tornado-prone regions. One of the key takeaways was that, by a significant margin, the area that seeks to benefit most from additional low-level radar coverage and its resultant economic and safety benefits was a stretch of Tennessee and Alabama. Overall, the study revealed that nationally, saving benefits of up to nearly $700 million are possible when considering the cumulative impacts of severe weather, and dozens, if not hundreds, of additional lives could be saved. This data considered factors such as financial burden incurred by injuries, cleanup crews, and the opportunity cost lost due to impactful severe weather. Notably, the study also revealed that when considering a hypothetical new radar somewhere near the Tennessee-Alabama state line, the combined economic benefits per year for the stretch of poorly covered counties in Tennessee and Alabama was just shy of $10 million, assuming one-minute data updates. Assuming a linear relationship between scan frequency and benefit savings, some $21 million could be saved annually with modern radar technology scanning at 20-second intervals, as many non-government radars do in this age. In 2020, Ben Luna and team members of Tennessee Valley Weather made it a point to obtain a compact, locally scanning radar to prove that a larger radar is necessary in this region, and it worked. In its four-year span, it captured numerous tornadoes, squall lines, pop-up thunderstorms, flood events, snow, and more, all with a limited range of just 40 miles. A full-power radar scanning up to 300 miles would, once and for all, lift the weather blindfold, according to Ben Luna, the managing meteorologist for Tennessee Valley Weather. It's laid the groundwork perfectly. To me and to my entire team, it honestly proves that something that will fix this gap permanently, this huge ominous information gap across this portion of the country, is within arm's reach, Luna said. Luna added that State Senator Paige Wally and Representative Kip Capley and Representative Clay Doggett are attempting to secure an appropriation in this year's state budget to build a radar. Gas prices once again moved more expensive over last week, rising 5 cents on average. The Tennessee gas price average is now $3.20, which is 12 cents more expensive than 1 month ago, but 10 cents less than 1 year ago. The roller coaster at the gas pump continues this week with a 5 cent increase in our state gas price average, said Megan Cooper, spokeswoman for AAA, the Auto Club Group. With recent changes in the oil market, we're seeing renewed upward pressure on oil prices. This is likely why we're seeing a wide range of pricing across our metro area and areas in Middle Tennessee with a 22-cent difference between the most and least expensive gas stations in the state. Here's some quick facts. 67% of Tennessee gas stations have prices below $3.25. Tennessee is currently the seventh least expensive market in the nation. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Living with a worn joint can be painful and frustrating. Leave your joint pain in the past with a joint replacement procedure at Murray Regional Health. Our joint replacement program has been recognized in the top 10% of the nation for medical excellence and patient safety, thanks to our highly skilled and experienced surgical staff who perform progressive procedures for the knees, hips, shoulders, elbows, and ankles. For more information, go to murrayregional.com/joint replacement. Murray Regional Health, where clinical excellence meets compassionate care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. Celebrating their 25th anniversary is one of country music's most successful groups. Multi-platinum Grammy award-winning Little Big Town joined forces with longtime friends and collaborators Sugarland at the CMT Music Awards to deliver a stunning world premiere performance of their new song, Take Me Home. The two powerhouse groups are also set to embark on a U.S. tour titled Take Me Home Tour. The tour will stop at Bridgestone Arena on December 13th. Special guests for the tour will be Sugarland and the Castellows. Ticket sales will happen this week, starting Friday, April 12th at 10 a.m. You can get them at www.littlebigtown.com. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be